I'm going to share the word this morning, and I got to say, I really miss having Pastor John and Pat. You know, I've been taking care of my mom. They're actually the caregivers for my mom, and I've been with them for I've been with her for the last week. Oh, thanks. And you know, they're so precious. My brother, I just love my brother. He's such a great brother, and he's the pastor, head pastor here. And Pat, and she's a pastor. I'm so blessed. Our family is so blessed. And my mom, she's made 95 years old now, and I just praise God that I get to spend. My wife and I were on Kauai for the last 8 years, and it's so great to be back. We've been back about a year and a half now, and it's so, you know, I'm so blessed to be able to, both of us, to be with our moms. And I just want to honor my mother-in-law, Momi Krav here, Ilan's mom. And we just had a great, great party yesterday, a birthday party. And it was such a tremendous time we had with the family. She has a really big family, a really big Hawaiian family, and it's just so blessed. And Mom, I just got to say, she just had 90 years young, praise the Lord. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful mother-in-law. I just love her, and we just thank you for coming today, Mom. And so we're really blessed as a family. You know, the Word of God is alive. Amen. You know, there's a prayer in Psalms that talks about, in Psalms 119, about being, quicken me, Lord, according to your Word. The Word of God. God sent his Word in Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his Word to heal us and deliver us from destruction. And how many of you know Jesus is the Word of God? In John 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And we are blessed to have the Word of God in our nation. Amen? You know, we are so thankful. There's countries there's still countries out there that haven't heard the gospel, haven't heard the Word of God. They don't even have Bibles some places. You know, there's such a darkness in some parts of the world that we got to pray, and God's got to break through. And as we go, like Chi Alpha is going, each one of us called to be an ambassador for Christ, we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And to be who we were made to be. You know, it's by his mercy and grace we're saved. Not by our works, but by his love, his power, grace and mercy that we are saved. And we can know that in our hearts. We can know that we are saved right now. You know, some think that you got to wait to, you know, after we die, we're going to, not sure whether we're going to make it or not. But Jesus wants us to know, by his Holy Spirit, that we have eternal life right now. We've passed from death into life. Amen? But I want to talk about today, my title is No Longer Slaves, But Sons. And I appreciate what you shared, brother, from Romans chapter 8. You know, that's one of my favorite books in reading, chapter 5, 6, 7, 8. And it's just so powerful and so liberating. Because Jesus said, as you continue in the word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I mean, there's, you know, it's one thing, like Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but when he came out of that grave, he was still bound with all this grave clothes, and he told the other ones around him, release him, you know, unwrap him, take that grave clothes, help him get freed. And it's just like us. You know, sometimes you can have the Lord in life, but we still have these other bondages and wrong thinking and wrong believing about certain things in our life because of the way we were raised, of all the situations we've been in that have, and the voices we hear and believe, right? Because God sent Jesus to make us sons and daughters, not slaves, not just servants. And it's so important to understand that he adopted us, caused us to be, if we're born again, we're in the family, man. We're in the family of God now. You got to think of and meditate on that, because the Lord says we have to have our minds renewed to that. It's one thing. The gospel is so simple in the fact it's simple but profound, and it's a mystery. But we simply believe in what Jesus has done at the cross, that God said, whosoever. That's a big word. Whosoever. Amen. I'm a whosoever. And when I believed, he said, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess him as your Lord. Submit my life. I give my life to the Lord. I receive him. I repent for my sins. And he says, he saves us. And he seals us. He gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. He seals us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sealed until that day. Thank God that we can know, that we can experience his love, his comfort, his power. It's all by his Spirit that he's given us. So I'm going to, from Galatians chapter 3, I like to, it's verse 26, I'm going to read this. I think we have it too. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And I want to make, you know, it's not just being a son as a male, but it's a position. It's a position of sonship in the family of God, born of God. If you received him, you become born again by his power, by his word, and you become a son and a daughter of God. You got to think about that, because it changes how we, it's not about doing, it's about being. Doing springs forth of being, of our being, of who we are. You know, is it Proverbs where it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he? As we think how, you know, you might have grown up being put down in your life, or you know, being bullied as a child or whatever, but hearing all kinds of negative stuff about you. Putting you down, saying you'll never make it, you're a loser, not too smart, all kinds of things that we can hear in the world. But how many of you know God has a different view of each one of us? And it's good. It's good. Let me read this. 3:26, I read it, right? For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's a lot more in here that I'm not going to be speaking about, but I want to focus on our sonship and being set free from the mentality and thinking of us as just servants, slaves. You know, when I first got saved, I just kept saying, oh, Lord, I'm so unworthy, I'm so unworthy, I'm so unworthy, and I just felt so bad. And one day I felt, as I was saying that, the Lord in me, the Spirit of God rose up in me. It was telling me, quit saying that. Quit saying that. You are a son. And I'm going to give you another one of Jesus' parables that really hits it home for me. But we see this. If you've been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. I'm not talking just water baptism. I'm talking the Holy Spirit comes, and we are baptized by God the Father into his Son. Just like an ark of safety, right? The Noah's Ark. We are put into him, and we are covered and clothed with him. And everything he has and is, he gives to us. It says, Chapter 4, Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, big S, the Spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I don't know where everybody is this morning, but I tell you this. Since I came to, I tell you, it's been dawning on me more and more, because the Word of God says, present our bodies a living sacrifice to him. Don't be conformed to the world. You know what the world says about me? The standards of the world. We are called to a higher standard. We're called to sonship. Called to daughters. Really? You know, we're no longer serving God, as we realize we're no longer serving God out of just duty or just a sense of fear. You can even be afraid, you know, always have this sense like God's over here and you're over here. And that's how it is if you haven't received him, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit in your life, into your heart. That's how it seems to be always. And even when you do receive the Holy Spirit, if our mind goes off into thinking the wrong things, we get that seems like a separation, but really he's right here. And Father is right here in me, in the Son. Jesus promised that in John 14. Didn't he say that? In that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. I tell you, that's something to really meditate about. You know what meditation is, right? You ponder it, you think about it, you pray about it, and just soak in it. It's not this kind of instant coffee type of thing where you can just get it just like that. It's something you have to just dwell upon, set your mind and your heart upon. It's an awesome thing to be called a son of God or a daughter of God. That God would, you know, it's one thing to be just pardoned for our sins and forgiven. But how much greater is it to be brought into his family and he calls you his son and daughter? Our heavenly Father, he's really our Father. We're living in a world. He's called us, what did he say? He's called us out of the world. Did he call us out of the world? You're no longer of this world, but he's left us in the world. But you're no longer of this world, and he protects us from the evil one. It's a powerful thing to know him as Father. Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, Father, to know you, Father, is eternal life. To know him. To really know him in our heart. And Jeremiah in 36 where he talks about we shall know him from the least to the greatest. You don't have to be taught by man about knowing the Lord. Because when we receive him, putting our trust in him, when we hear the gospel, we know him in our hearts. In our spirit, we know him. And when we receive his spirit, he gives us a witness. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that we are sons and daughters. I heard it said that, you know, that term Christian, that word Christian, it's mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. And it was originally given, I believe it says in the book of Ephesians, where the term Christian was from the world's perspective, calling us believers Christians. And a couple other places too. I think Peter said, if we suffer as a Christian, we glorify God, glorify God. But really, we are sons and daughters. The term Christian, the world gave it to us because we looked like Christ in the early church. They walked with the Lord in such a powerful way. And today we're living in a world where there's so much going on in our world. There's so many challenges. There's so many problems. But praise the Lord. The Lord said he causes us to triumph if we have him in our life. And we're walking in his ways. And while we're doing this, I'm going to read then from Hebrews chapter 12. Can we go to that, chapter 12 of Hebrews? You know, it's I always hear about this, that it, you know, when you receive the Lord, that's when the real battle begins. That's when the war starts between you and the devil, the world, and our own selves, our old nature, the flesh, our old habits, our old thinking patterns. That has to be changed. Our minds need to be changed and renewed according to the will of God. In other words, we got to get lined up with the Lord. Our spirit, when we receive the Lord, our spirit is born again. We are made alive in Him with His life. He comes to dwell in us. But our soul and our mind needs to be renewed, needs to be restored. So it's really a humbling thing to walk with the Lord and let Him do that special work of grace in our lives every day, every day. And on this journey, I call it a journey because I've learned over the years, man, it's, you know, especially in America and the West, where they talk about the gospel. You heard the prosperity gospel, and, you know, God just blesses us, and He has blessed us. But His main purpose is that we are predestined to be conformed to His Son. We are predestined by God to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to be like Him. And that's what most of the New Testament talks about, how our walk is to conform, our way of living, our thinking, everything is to be conformed to that. But we have to have the right core foundation of who we are in Him, who we are. We're not just servants. Yes, in ourselves, we're all unworthy. But when God forgives us, He wipes it out. He doesn't even remember your sins. He said that. He washes it away. As far as the east is from the west, He has removed it. But there are times he exhorts us in the book of Ephesians. Paul says, remember where you came from. Remember. But don't have to dwell on that. Amen. We can praise Him because God has cleansed our slate, given us a new life. We are now new creations in Him. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Hebrews 12, verse 3 to 12, I want to read that. And let the Word of God speak to us this morning. Well, I'm going to read it from verse 1 because it's so... We like to quote that scripture. It says, looking unto Jesus. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But it goes on. He says, for consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Now listen to this. He's speaking to us, all of us here. He says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. You know what that means, right? Chastening? A correction, maybe a little spanking. However God does it, I tell you, I've experienced some good ones from the Lord that you will never forget it. If you know what I'm talking about, you will not forget it. You will not want to go back to what you're doing when the Lord chastens you. But He says this, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Rebuked by Him. You mean God will rebuke me? Yes, He will. Our God is a loving Father, and He loves us. And He's going to discipline us. And He says this, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Scourging. That's a serious word, scourging. But he says here, he says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Okay? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect and honor. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit. God is doing it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Holiness. God's holy, holy, holy. And he's calling us unto holiness. There's a beautiful picture there's a roadway in Isaiah, book of Isaiah, about the highway of holiness. I heard this church used to preach that years and years ago when Pastor Mildred Brostick, the highway to holiness, where the unclean cannot walk. But there's a place that we walk with the Lord. And he says this, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you, God, that your word is truth. I thank you for your goodness, Lord, that you have predestined us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Lord, have your way. Speak to our hearts. Your word is life. Your word is truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for correction. Thank you for rebuke, chastening, whatever you want to do, Lord. I just thank you, God, for conforming me and everyone here, God, as we continue on this journey with you, on this path. Bless this, bless, I pray, open our ears and our hearts to hear what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sons, no longer slaves. You know, I got to say, for years, I didn't understand this part. And I was serving God out of a fear and doubts about his love. But I was too afraid to go back into the world where I came from, because God disciplined, it showed me, I got to say, he didn't cause it. I did it to myself. The enemy took advantage of it, and I went through a lot of stuff. But, you know, the Lord has been teaching me and showing me. And he's you know, David prayed this prayer after he sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered. He prayed, Lord, you know, create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There is a joy in serving the Lord. There is a joy. We've been called into the same business as Jesus said as a child. I must be about my Father's business. Amen? You know, and so many times we can get caught up in the world, even in the church. There's so much things that we could be involved in. We got to get alone with the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, and like Jesus said, go into your closet. Go into our closet and pray and seek him with all our heart. And let him show you. Let us get into the word of God. Let him speak to you. There's a beautiful song that says, word of God, speak. Come to me like the rain, Lord. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my ears that I might hear. Because it's so easy with the technology today to get so much in such a short time. So many messages. I go to YouTube and I can listen to 1,000 preachers and teachings and everything about this and that. Because I love spiritual things. I just grew up, I always had a hunger for the spiritual things. That's why I got involved with the New Age and all kinds of stuff. I wanted to experience the supernatural. I knew it was real, right? But God had to rein me in and show me. There's a lot of lying spirits out there. He wants us to grow up as sons, to not be tossed to and fro, back and forth by every wind that blows of teachings and all these things that people want to get. There's guys talking about that ministry and talking about that pastor and all this stuff that's going on. But God wants us to get alone with him and say, what are you saying, Lord? I need to hear from you. You know, we had Holy Communion. He wants a relationship. A relationship where we know him in our hearts and our minds, have an understanding that he gives us, a spiritual understanding of who he is and who we are. Because I tell you right now, in the world, there's in some churches, there's so much things of the world that has come in. Come into the church, where the church has been conforming to the world instead of the world conforming to the church. We need to understand these days, because there is a place for the apostle, the prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists to help us grow up in him, to be like him, and to walk with him. This chastening I'm talking about, there is a real chastening that God allows to come. He ordains it for our good, to partake of what? His holiness. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about that, our separation from the ways of the world. 1 John talks about, don't love the world or the things of the world, but set our affections, set our hearts on God, on Jesus above, seated at the right hand of God. Don't be conformed to the world. Thank you, Lord. But the chastening that comes, he says we're all partakers of it. So I'm just letting you know ahead of time of what's going to be coming down. There's chastenings all through life, but there's blessings, there's good things coming. God is a good God. He blesses us. And I am one that I love to hear about all the blessings, but this is a special blessing to receive from the Lord. It's a special blessing. There's a beautiful picture. I'm gonna close with this. There's a beautiful picture of Jesus, how his love for the lost in Luke chapter 15. I'm not gonna go there, but there's three parables he gives. One of the lost sheep, another one of the lost coin, and the last one, the prodigal son. That's the one I want to talk a little bit about. But just to touch on the first two, at the end of those parables, it says, how much joy is in heaven when one sinner repents, when one sinner returns to the Lord. And we all start there, right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And we've all come to, we come to a place, and getting to the part about the prodigal son. Remember the story, how the father had two sons? One of them asked for his inheritance early, before normally you receive it after parents die or something, right? But he asked for it early, and I guess in those days you could do that. But the point was, he wanted his inheritance, and he left the father's house. He went into the far country. He spent his money in, it says, riotous living. I mean, he was living it up. He got out of his father's house, and he was free, man. He was going to do his thing, and he did it. Until the time came, there was a famine in the land, and he was working for a farmer. He spent all his money. He ended up working for a farmer, a pig farmer. And you know, if you know anything about Judaism, they don't mess with pigs. And he was feeding the pigs corn cobs or whatever. And it came about, nobody was helping him. He was down and out, and nobody was helping him. And he would have ate those corn cobs, but it didn't satisfy. And finally, it says, he came to his senses. And he thought to himself, he said, what am I doing? My father has more than enough, as we sang that song today. He has more than enough for us. For me, And he even his hired servants are well taken care of. So what did he do? Did he just sit there, that son? Did he just sit there and think about it? No. He got up. He got up and he went back towards his father's house. I don't know how he left that farmer, but it says he just went. He went. And what happened? He, on the way, as he was going, he was rehearsing what he was going to say. He said, he's thinking, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to be called your son. Just hire me as a servant, right? Just take me back as a servant. You know, he's in bad shape. And he felt terrible. But what was happening? The father was looking for his son. And he was looking from afar off. And then when he seen his son, he said the father ran towards him as the son was coming. And when the son reached him, he was, you know, trying to tell the father, I'm so unworthy, Father, forgive me and everything. The father just embraced him, kissed him. He didn't even say anything else except telling the servants, go get the robe, go get the ring, go get the sandals. And I'm going to, you know, and he put the robe upon his son. And that robe, what is that robe? The robe, you can look at it a spiritual way, right? I mean, there's so many ways you can look at this. The spiritual robe of righteousness of Christ, of Jesus, the Father embraced his son, kissing him, and just wrapped him up in that robe of righteousness. Remember the robe of Joseph, the prince? Back in the day, Jacob, his father, gave him a robe of many colors as his favorite. That's the kind of robe. God gave him a robe that clothed him, and he put a ring on his hand. And what does that ring symbolize? It's the eternal sonship, authority. You know, never a ring is like, it's never ending. God just, I mean, through Jesus is showing us that the Father's love is such that he just embraces us. He wants us to come to him and for him, he wants to embrace us, clothe us, restore that ring of sonship to us, and he puts sandals on his feet. Slaves did not wear sandals in those days. Sandals are representative of being of the household as a son. And that's our Father. That's our Heavenly Father. He loves us so much. He loved the world so much. In his love, he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son so that he could have many sons and many daughters. I tell you, man, I'm so thankful, so blessed to be in the family of God. His love for us is so great. But he says, we got to come to our senses and return. There's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah chapter 30. God speaking through Isaiah saying, with returning and rest, you shall be saved. Returning, another word for that is repentance. With repentance and rest. In other words, turning away from, like that prodigal son, turning away from that old life, turning away, forsaking it, renouncing it. Say, I'm coming back to my Father's house. And when we hear about the goodness of God, we taste the goodness of God. We can't have, what's that saying? We can't have your cake and eat it too. I mean, there's, you know, it's either or. God says, choose life or choose death. He says, life and death are presented before us. And I had that scripture pointed out to me way back when I was a young man going through something. And I had a Bible, and I just, you know how you just crack open the Bible and just say, oh, Lord, speak to me? And that was the scripture that came up. You choose. I present before you life or death. You choose. And that's how God really scared me. It really scared me because it made me responsible. I had to do something. A lot of times we want God to do everything, but he said, you got to choose to return. You got to choose to follow me. And when you do, I will meet you. What does he say? If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God will draw near to you. As we humble ourselves, as we turn from our wicked ways, Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, ways and thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon to our God, and he will have compassion on him. I tell you. And we have, in the new covenant, that was old covenant, we have something even better. He not only abundantly pardons us and forgives us, he makes us his very own sons. He adopts us into his family, giving us his spirit of his son to live in our hearts where we cry out, Abba, Father, from the depths of our being. I'm telling you, man, this is not religion. This is a relationship that is a living, vital, life-giving to your soul and to others as you go about your business and serving the Lord. Whew, so much to be thankful for. And he's here this morning. He's here right now. He's here to meet your need wherever you're at. If you believe, he said, if you believe in him, believing not just with our minds and saying, yeah, I believe that. It talks about that in James. He said, if even the demons believe that and they're trembling. Our faith, our believing has to be where we return in repentance and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm done with that. I'm done with my past living, the way I was thinking. I want to be yours forever. Lord, and when we do that sincerely from our heart, he gives us his Holy Spirit. He clothes us with his Spirit. He blesses us and comes and makes us his home. Amen. So I'm closing with this, that if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord in that way. Or maybe you've accepted him, but you don't experience the kind of power and love and comfort that he gives us now, right now. If your hope is just for the hope, that's a blessed hope. But we can enjoy his presence and power in our life right here and right now. Amen. If you believe, believing is by returning, coming to our senses and say, yes, you agree with me. What I'm saying is the truth. If you do believe that, then just act on that and say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. Praise God. Can we just stand together? You know, praise the Lord that as the family of God, our Father provides everything for us. Provides everything. You know, he said, we become an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. All this material things, it's all going to be made new. As beautiful as these islands are, when the Lord comes back, he's going to make it more beautiful. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But he's starting with us. From the inside out, he wants our hearts, not just our lips. How about you this morning? Amen. Can we just surrender? Will you just agree with me? Can you sing that, brother? The chorus part? Everything I need. Yeah, yeah. What a joy. What a blessing. He said there's so much joy in heaven. The Father, the angels are rejoicing when one sinner repents. If you're here, you haven't received Jesus. Just open your heart to him today. Now is your time. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take this time. Take a few moments. Can we all be praying right now? There's somebody here. You don't know them like what I'm talking about. And you want to. Nothing else satisfies. Only he can satisfy. You wonder why certain things happen in our life that we've gone through so much. Much of it is because of our own doing, our own decisions, our own consequences. But God in his mercy has preserved us. He has kept us, and He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Let's just take a moment. God is holy. If you want to fellowship with Him, we got to be cleansed by the precious blood. You got to believe that Jesus paid it all for us. If that's you this morning, you haven't committed your life to Christ, and you want us to do that right now, come to the front. We'll pray with you up here. If you want to rededicate your life, we got this. This is like an altar over here. You know, we talk about returning. I come up here all the time. I got to return sometimes. I tell you, we all make mistakes, but thankfully, God has trained, you know, He disciplines us to show me these little things that we call the little foxes that spoil the vine. There's things that we have a hard time breaking. I want you to come up. There's a sin or something. We want to pray with you. He said there's healing. When we come before the Lord, the body is here. We're here together. If you guys are okay, just pray for one another. Say a prayer for somebody. Will you pray for each other? Can we do that right now? Go ahead. Pray for somebody right now. Thank you, Father. We receive the Holy Spirit that seals us. It gives us a confidence. He gives us an assurance. He bears witness that we are children, His sons and daughters. If you don't have that assurance today, I'm telling you, seek Him. Seek Him. Do what it's necessary, whatever it takes to have that witness and assurance in your heart. Amen. Amen. He loves every one of us, whosoever, today. This is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. We don't know about tomorrow, but right here we have right now. Holy Spirit is moving in this place. When we get together, He's in here in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. I don't want to rush. God's dealing with hearts. God's dealing with sin. God's dealing with rebellion. God's dealing with all kinds of issues in our hearts and our lives. Lord, don't let us go until you break through, Lord God, and heal us, Lord. Deliver us, Father, from every lie, every work of the devil, everything that has hindered our walk with you. God, restore the joy where we want to share Jesus with others. Bring life to us, Lord. Revive us according to your word. God, that we will move forward and not be stuck in the pig pen like the prodigal, but will leave that place and come to you. I thank you, Father. Thank you. You're so good. So good. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you all.